Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to another special Between Takes episode of Missing Frames. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. I'm still dishing out my Sundance 2020 coverage over here, and I'm really excited to share this episode with you. So last week, I spoke with Will Madden, one of the stars of the film Beast Beast, which made its premiere at Sundance and was written and directed by his brother, Danny Madden. The film follows three characters from different walks of life, and Will plays Adam. Now, Adam is a little bit of an introvert. Just a little bit. Not too much. But he's enough of an introvert that he spends most of his time at home, on a computer, and he has big ambitions of being like a YouTube star. So he has his own channel. He's a gun lover. Gun lover, that's such a weird phrase. He's a gun collector, let's just say that. And his channel is focused specifically on proper firearm usage. He wants to kind of teach people about the importance of firearm safety and how to be a responsible gun owner. Unfortunately, the fact that his videos are pretty straightforward and don't have much pizzazz to them doesn't help him out much on the views front. So he doesn't get a lot of attention, and it's a bigger problem because he wants this to be a full-time career. He's living at home with his parents. He doesn't have any other job. So, you know, they take it really well. Adam's a really tough character to play because of the very nature of his character, the fact that he's very cut off from other people and spends a lot of time on his own. It's hard to really make that character likable, but somehow Will manages to do it, which is really impressive. He and I just kind of delve a little bit into the process of playing a character like Adam. What were the challenges of playing this character? How do you make this character sympathetic, especially when he's doing things that do not earn a lot of audience sympathy? I won't spoil anything, and we don't spoil anything major in this conversation, but there are conversations about mild plot beats, so just be warned. Also be warned, we recorded this in a cafe because, you know, I like to bring some atmosphere into my podcasts. Every so often, we want to go out into the world and, hey, let's get some real background sounds. So the background sounds we got in this are, you know, the best songs you remember from the early 2000s. I'm sure some of them ended up on a Now compilation, so you're welcome. But bear with us. The conversation is great. Will is fantastic. And I hope you enjoy.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Well, first of all, congratulations, because this movie is so moving and so powerful. And this is pretty awesome that you get to come here and do it at Sundance and introduce it to everybody here.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did you say you've been to Sundance before?
I have not been to Sundance. No. So some people from our team, or some of our producers and actors have, but for most of us, it was our first time. So yeah. It's been just a trip, and it's sort of such a privilege. And, you know, it's like what you go for when you make an independent movie. It's like you try to get in here to share it with the world. So
yeah, so first feature too, right?
Yeah. It's I mean, I've been in a couple things here and there, but never kind of in something as big a role as this.
Yeah.
And it's Danny's first feature.
Yeah.
So a lot of us were learning kind of on the fly of kind of the amount of work it requires.
Yeah. Danny's your brother. I don't know if the people at home realize this, but a lot of times when people have a last name, they share a last name. They are related. Not always, but in this case, it is the case. So was Danny, because obviously Krista, your character didn't really exist in the short film Krista that Danny made and then expanded into this film.
Yeah. So we, working on Krista, I played the high school teacher, Krista's teacher, and we co-wrote the short and decided, and Danny wrote the feature on his own and was like, we should have a different, sort of a different storyline. So the role in the film is played by an actress, Karen Moore, who's fantastic. But so we really kind of go in a different direction with the same character. And then I play a different guy.
Yeah. Do you remember talking with Danny early on, like what the conversations were like when he was like, not only do I want to expand it, but like, was he immediately like, there's going to be a part in it for you, or how did that work?
No. He wrote the script, and we were on a road trip to South By to premiere Krista and the Shorts program. And we stopped at a deli in somewhere in Texas, and we had sandwiches, and he busted out the two copies of the script. And I knew he was writing something, but I wasn't, I didn't know anything. Kind of went in cold, and I read it, you know, in that sitting. And then he's like, "You want to play Adam?" And I was like, "Yeah,
like, sure, why not?"
No, but yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer. And he was, you know, from the script, from the first draft of the script, it was like, "Yeah, there's a movie in here. Yeah, you got a story."
Do you the first draft of it? How close did it end up to the final product?
Oh man, well, we shot it, but what's in the final film? I mean, there's three major scenes with my character and his family that are just gone.
Oh my God.
Like, that we thought were integral to the story. And then we kind of realized in the edit, everyone kind of realized, not only Danny the editors, but like, these are just not necessary, these couple of scenes. He worked really hard on them, and I'm proud of some of the work in it, but ultimately it's like, it was the perfect example of like, you can't be precious, kill your darlings. So yeah. It's like, we got to say goodbye to the scene. But other than that, most of it's there, yeah. From page to what we shot to what's in the final cut.
So he didn't say to you, when you read that script for the first time, he wasn't saying like, hey, pay attention to Adam. You were more just like reading it as like his brother, just looking at it, and then afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
So just looking at the character without the bias of like, I'm playing this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you feel?
Well, I mean, it wasn't so much out of left field because we worked together all the time. So it was kind of like, you know, if there's a young dude in his 20s, I'm like, might be me. I don't know. We'll see. But ultimately, you read it and then seeing what is demanded in it, the first impulse, I think always, is no. Like, I can't. There's no way I'll be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I won't. How am I supposed to get access to that?
Yeah.
And most actors, I think, feel that way too. But then you kind of, the dust settles in a way, and then it's like, all right, well, let's set out to do it. And it's the kind of thing of like, when you try to do a feature film, it's basically impossible to make something good. So it's kind of like you're all holding hands and like, well, we're gonna jump into the fire. And like, the only way to do it is when you feel really like this is probably not gonna work. And then, but let's try. Yep. Like, that's the way to go.
I love that.
And it's terrifying, but it's the only way that anything good really happens.
So when you started to prepare for this, what kind of research did you do? What kind of,
right, yeah.
What were you looking at and what were you connecting with in terms of the character? Because this is not an easy, and I guess if anyone hasn't seen the movie, first of all, you should see this whenever it's available. But I guess we'll be delving a little bit into spoilers, so just a fair warning. But when you're connecting with this guy, because this guy, he's a gun nut. He's very introverted. He's very kind of cut off. And how do you dive into a character like that?
Right.
And like, how did you prepare going into that?
Well, as far as like the research and preparation was kind of twofold, you know, intention. Of right. One, it's like, I just have to be believable as someone who is an expert with firearms. And I had a little bit of knowledge beforehand, but nothing on any sort of professional level or really intricate knowledge. So it was honestly just a lot of Googling all the kinds of firearms, Googling about the military, what kind of things they use.
And I assume you did some training as well.
Because
you have some like pretty intense moments where you're handling the weapons.
There was a few months before we got to Georgia, and then we got to Georgia and worked with a couple of veterans and firearms trainers, three or four guys, who kind of took me under their wing, and Danny and I would go out and shoot with them at the range where they worked and at one of their homes in the sort of wooded area on their property. And they trained us, you know, that we did like military tactics, we did sort of different exercises. They taught me, you know, the first time I went in, I was expecting them to have a couple things and be a couple, you know, guys with a few different firearms. It was like the Matrix. It was like there was like two folded tables that were open, and
they were
like,
we're gonna hook you into this machine.
Yeah,
don't
they shaved
mind us.
My whole body.
Yes.
plugged things into me. But there were just like 20 assault rifles laid out on these things and a dozen different pistols.
Yeah.
And for like 3 hours, we just like went one by one down the line, explaining each firearm, what it's called, sort of its quick history of it, what kind of ammunition it takes, and then we'd, shoot with them, practice.
I've never shot a gun, and I've never, like, I've always, like, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe going to a shooting range might be fun to do sometime, but I imagine there's a sense of, like, when you see, like, the most extreme gun nuts, like Adam in a way, like, people like that who are so obsessed with it. I get the sense that there is this feeling of power and doing things like that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is that you know, in our country, that, you know, being a firearms kind of geek is as translatable as being into cooking or being into movies or being into BMX riding or like having a sport or recreation. It's legal to have firearms and to have that be your life. So Adam, you know, we try to portray him as he's a responsible guy. He's like the idea that he's kind of the most professional, responsible, upright citizen who uses them.
Well, that was something I appreciated from the get-go. Because your character does not spend a lot of time with Krista or, is it Nito?
Nito.
You're very isolated, and I don't know if during, as you were developing and rehearsing, if you, did you cut yourself off from them to kind of maintain that, or were you very, did you get a chance to sort of engage with them during the production? And
well, we were all friends as people before, because we had known Shirley for years, and Jose for like 6 months, 8 months, so we were buds beforehand, but when we got into shooting, they were so busy. We basically did 1 week of Shirley's stuff, 1 week of Jose's stuff, and 1 week of my stuff. So I had a lot of time just to prepare on my own. And we were shooting it in my parents' house, and I was actually living in Danny's childhood bedroom, which was, we shot for Adam's room.
Right.
So it was decked out with all the firearms, all the replicas, posters, so it was dressed as his room. So for 6 weeks I lived in that room. Used that computer, slept in that bed, ate cereal from, you know, like Adam does. So, not that I'm a method actor, but like I wanted to kind of sink into that world.
Yeah.
And I had so much homework to do, and like 80% of my stuff is me alone at a computer. So like I didn't have scene partners. I had a green screen in front of my face. So it was a lot of just solo preparation. And then for the times that I do, that he does have scenes, we had some rehearsals. But ultimately, it was like 95% me in my room. Just
having
stuff.
Fun, yeah.
Fun, but doing something. But on a macro scale, it's fun.
Yes. Bringing it back to the point you said about making Adam very responsible, that was something that I, again, I thought was incredible from the get-go, because you have Krista and Nito off on their own, very energetic. That's almost the heart of the film is the two of them, and their kind of blossoming romance.
Absolutely.
And early on, I think, I don't remember if I mentioned this to you before, but early, I remember as the movie started, I remember thinking like, oh, I love these two characters. I don't know how I feel about Adam. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where this is going.
Yeah.
But from the get-go, because you made him such a responsible person and such a, like, very clearly passionate, but not nuts. Like, I think there's a sense or a misconception of people who might have this as a hobby as being like, oh, we're crazy. We got all the guns. Yeah. Let's do that. But Adam is very grounded and very sincere, and he loves it. And I think portraying that idea of he wants to have a very genuine, sincere channel.
Yes.
And when, in this world of people who are very sensationalizing things like that.
Right.
I think right from the get-go, it makes him very endearing. And a lot of that comes through in your performance.
Thanks, yeah. The whole idea, I mean, film is like an exercise in empathy. You know, we're hearing someone else's story. You're walking in their shoes. You're seeing from their, you know, you're putting on their glasses.
Yeah.
And sort of try to trust that if you can do that, that the audience has a way in and they can relate to them. And then you kind of love them to a certain degree, you know, any character who feels real. That's how we're hardwired as human beings, is to kind of like just gravitate to one another when we see their whole, all their facets of them. So from the moment one, and in the initial drafts of the script were a little more kind of, it's not as fleshed out and three dimensional. So that was a conversation we had as we developed, you know, as I worked on the character, trying to make him human and fun and likable. And
what did you bring to that conversation in terms of, like, from the get-go, when you're like, Danny, I think we really need this. What were you really honing in on as you were trying to figure out who this guy was?
Well, I think part of it is really just accenting and trying to sort of deepen his real anxiety and loneliness, you know? His way to communicate with people is through a screen, through different kinds of screens. And that's so isolating and lonely when you don't know how to kind of relate to other people. And he's also a dude in his 20s living with his folks, trying to be an artist. Yeah. You know, he's trying to make a YouTube channel that could pay the bills. So, you know, who can't relate to that, like, in our industry?
Yeah.
So, like, just kind of trying to really live in those moments. And not just rely on like the story beats, but really bring them to life in a way, and letting every moment that you're on frame to be telling the story of, this is someone who's suffering, and that's what causes him to do the actions that he does. So I think just like any time you paint someone, you know, the portrait of someone in pain, you can't help but kind of feel for them. That's where we meet him in the beginning.
Well, seeing the movie in the theater, how much fun was that seeing it with an audience for the first time? But also, you did get the sense that people, even there, again, there's this undercurrent of something's not right 100% with this guy, or something, we're going down the wrong, like, right. Something terrible is going to happen.
Sure.
But the sense that somehow, through your humanity and your performance, you make him extremely likable. Like, just watching him, like, posing and trying to figure out and, like, smiling. And was that fulfilling to see and feel the audience responding to the character, knowing that the work paid off?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the most rewarding part, was hearing audible sort of vocalizations of, like, pity and laughing. Not some of it's at him, but kind of, like, you know, feeling dozens of strangers kind of have a response to him on the screen. That was the moment that I was like, felt valid. It felt validated that we got to that third dimension, at least a little bit, for these audience members. So, but the premiere was insane. It was like your heart's gonna jump out of your chest, and the energy was unlike anything I've experienced with a film before.
I'd been engaged with your character throughout the entire movie, but after the terrible event that happens, and then it cuts to you doing your channel, and doing your videos now, like, and still having still laughing and still feeling engaged with you as a character. That's how I knew, like, I felt like this guy really pulled this off. And there are complexities to the character. There's still this sense of I understand this guy, and I also understand the position he's in, but it's a very complex issue, and it's very difficult to have conversations even about the scene itself. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But what was that like, trying to find the justification and the truth in that?
I think when someone is so, and I'm a little hesitant because I don't want to give too much away. However, you know, I think when someone is so desperate for something, when someone wants something so badly, you kind of get a little, like, horse blinders, you get a little myopic, and you kind of get blind to the suffering around you and what you might even be causing. So in his situation, he behaves in a way that is celebrated by his community and that is within the law, and he's celebrated as a hero for something that is ethically questionable. So I think, you know, all three characters are behaving out of pain and making really poor choices from a place of deep suffering that I could relate to all three of them, and I could see myself in all three of them, even though I don't have guns or I don't, you know, skateboard or whatever, or do petty crime. Like, I can see where they're coming from, and to kind of go there when the really difficult scenes come up, the traumatic things, that's the kind of thing you read it in the script and you're like, Christ, how am I going to even, where am I going to go for this? Yeah. Where am I going to, in my vessel, am I going to find this? But you just go for it. You just kind of open your heart and go for it.
Going down that line of thinking, was there a particular moment or a particular scene where you really struggled with it and had to work with Danny to find the rhythm or the moment you were trying to go for it?
There's a 911 call in the movie. And that was one of the things that, you know, for 4 months leading up to it, every time I, like, come across that moment in the script or start to work on it, you just get a pit in your stomach and just, like, tingle with anxiety for, like, months on end. And because you don't know where it's going to come from, but you're going to bash your head at it. And that was the most difficult moment, was making the phone call. And we did it 5 or 6 times and that was actually an interesting kind of thing, because watching the different cuts, there were two different takes. There was fluctuating back and forth between from, you know, cut 4 to 5 to 6. They were kind of trying it out differently, and ultimately they landed on one that felt a little more sympathetic. But that was the first time that I was like, oh wow, you know, I could be doing a performance I'm happy with, but it might not be telling the story that needs to be.
Yeah.
So sacrificing, like, I wish we did that take because I feel like I did a better job. But you can't think that way. It's like, what's best for the story? What's best for the movie? You know, and we went, ultimately, Danny and the editors went with the other one. But it's like anything. You just try to, you know, it changes you, seeing it through someone else's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's the gift of, you know, that's what I think, the acting is beautiful. If you're doing it right, it changes your life every time you try it.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but I wonder if you could speak to just the perception, like, as an actor, like, perception. And this is a tough character to play, and the fear of being typecast or trying to find a way around that, just kind of that conversation, like, How do you feel about that?
I've been thinking a lot about it. And the couple roles that I've done so far have been ethically very questionable guys, yeah. and which I feel is so kind of different from how I try to be.
Right.
I'm kind of a weird, silly, goofy dude playing kind of harder people.
Yeah.
And right now it's like, with Beast Beast particularly, I'm lucky because I got to experience and sort of play so many different facets of someone's life,
yeah.
from like really happy and silly and joyous to sort of dark places.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of about navigating like what I want to do next,
yeah.
and hopefully having somewhat of a choice, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy to just keep working, you know. It's like I'm just really getting my experience working in film, and I'm sort of happy to just sort of take it in.
Yeah. Do you have I mentioned this to you after the screening, but one of the moments that I love so much, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is the moment after you have your little, you have a little outburst at your father, who's been pressuring
yes.
you and pressuring you, and then you kind of have a beat in the kitchen where there's yeah. almost a, without saying it, there's an apology there.
Yeah.
I love that so much, and again, what a great way to humanize the character, but
yeah.
is there a moment you watch on screen where you're like, I got this, like that was, I'm glad I pulled that off.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the other way, of like, man, I really wish I could do that again, which is probably 99%
No. I imagine as an actor, it's hard to just, you're always watching and saying like, I could have done that.
Yeah, you want
to
poke your eyes out. It takes about 5 times watching a movie or a short that I'm in before I can actually kind of pay attention to it. But there, you know, the lucky thing with this process and how Danny works is that he gave us so much time, so much environment to play and to just go. We didn't slate, you know. There
oh, wow.
was very little talking. And for my, you know, Danny helped create a kind of monkish environment. It was him, the DP, Boom Op, and me for 12 hours, you know, in the little room. So I had so much time to kind of just try stuff, and Danny's smart enough and understands actors that he, you know, you gotta sift through the bad stuff before you find the good stuff. So the couple moments that I say, okay, I covered that base in a way that I didn't think I would, but it works.
Yeah.
It works. That's enough. You know, you kind of owe it to the director, you owe it to the cinematographer, you owe it to the editors, maybe mostly. And it's a whole sort of group effort, but there's a few moments that I'm like, we breathe a little sigh of relief once
yeah.
we caught it. It's like, okay. And then I'm like, don't have to think about that ever again.
Is there one in particular?
Honestly, all the stuff of just Adam at the computer, the kind of nonverbal stuff mm-hmm. of like experiencing, you know, how that's cut together and edited and with the score. And that just feels easy and relaxed in a way that I'm it's not like I'm just bragging, but it's like, but I just have, it was just, I got to be relaxed because I had so much space.
That stuff just
gave
probably,
me the room.
The vibe I get is that stuff is almost harder to pull off than the big
stuff. It is, yeah. Because when you have like, some like the bigger moments in the movie, you know, you read it in the script, you're like, okay, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the writing's good, I'm going to have someone to work off of, and we're going to do it a bunch of times. Like, that's a different thing. It's the quiet, subtle moments where you're just sitting there and you have to tell the story with your eyes that
yeah.
are like, that are just seem impossible. And you got to just kind of go for it. Yeah.
Well, what else is on the horizon? What else are you working on?
So I have a movie called The Werewolf, which is an Orion
Jim's
Pictures
movie.
Film. Yeah, Jim Cummings,
very
a good friend, a writer, director, star of who did Thunder Road, and this is a movie that takes place, we actually shot it near Park City, around Salt Lake and Park City, that's about a series of murders in this sort of slow, snowy, sleepy town, and he plays kind of the sheriff's son, who's kind of trying to figure out if this is just a serial killer or maybe a werewolf, and sort of dealing with that and with substances, and
yeah.
and it's funny and it's dark and it's kind of wild.
Yeah.
I've yet to see the final product, but that'll be September in theaters.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Perfect timing too. Right
yeah.
Before Halloween.
It'll be great. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I need it in my life. And can we?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your character in that? Or
sure. Yeah. A lot of it's kind of under wraps, but I play kind of a skeezy dude in this town who's one of the suspects that they're kind of bringing in to interrogate,
gotcha.
Along with this kind of cast of colorful weirdos. So it was like really fun, and,
yeah.
and we did that last March, and it was just a really great fun shoot.
Excellent.
And
it's colorful weirdo, what you want to go for
oh, yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, that's something I actually wanted to, I sort of forgot to say earlier, of like,
you know, playing the baddies, as, you know, the English would say, is like, that's more fun, you know? It's like, you get to explore darker stuff that you don't get permission to do, and to go there in a way that you kind of have a morbid, everyone, I think, has somewhat of a curiosity, and sort of a morbid curiosity. And when you get that opportunity to do that, it's really fulfilling. Yeah. So I'd be happy, you know, it's like typecasting. I'd like to work.
That'd be great.
I'd be happy to be weirdos. You know, it's more fun. You get opportunity to like to affect the main character rather than have to like carry and tell the story. You get to jump in and with the main guy, a gal, and then kind of run away. That's more fun, I think.
I think so too.
Less pressure.
I would imagine. Well, yeah, but like you get to be more unhinged. It's less like when you bringing up Bond.
Yeah.
Bond is very restrained and cool, whereas the villains are always like kind of kooky, and you get some more wiggle room to just go nuts.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah. Those are the fun roles.
Yeah. So, do you think you'd ever want to expand beyond acting? Do writing, directing, things like that?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I'm starting to feel a little bit of an itch.
Yeah.
Just as far as like what kind of characters I want to play and stories I want to be a part of, the chances of those plopping into my lap are slim.
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to write more and kind of have been producing a little bit with some buds, just sketch stuff, short stuff. And I'm in a community where people are really encouraging and helpful, and have a dozen mentors who are really good at what they do. So I'm going to, I think, start delving more into that over the next couple of years.
That's great.
And sort of see where that takes me, at least what I learned from it, you know, to bring back to acting.
So where is Beast Beast at right now in terms of distribution? Like, is there a release date? When can people see it?
It's currently up in the air.
Right.
So,
I say great, but that's also like, it would be great if it was.
Yes. but the producers have been chatting with different distributors.
Awesome.
We have XYZ, who's helping us out on the sales front, who are actually also doing The Werewolf. And hopefully in the next, you know, week, 2 weeks, month, we'll kind of have a more of a clearer idea of what home it's going to be, who it's going to belong to, and who's going to help us out. So I wish I had an answer, but
it'll get there. I'm really excited for people to see it, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, me too. I'm excited to hear what more people think and to have more conversations about like what we've been talking about.
Yeah. And then the last thing I have for you is, we talked a little bit about this, but my podcast, Missing Frames, where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives.
Right.
What's your missing frame? I know you said one of them was
Psycho.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm ashamed
of
seeing.
We'll do that. If you have some time, we'll get together and we'll make it happen, all right?
I would love that.
That would be great.
ATL.
And especially, I know we were talking about it, but that character in that movie,
I
think you...
Norman Bates.
Yes.
Everyone's like, you're Norman Bates. What are you doing? You should see the movie. And I'm like, I'm in, baby.
Someday it'll happen.
Right.
I mean, this has been fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
Of course.
If people want to find you on the interwebs, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Will R. Madden, or at willmadden.com. You can check out my work there and shoot me an email if you want to have a chat.
Awesome.
So,
thank you so much.
Cool.
Congratulations again.